You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson joins me, Filmology.com. I've got some ideas of actors who could play you, but who would play you, Josh?
Well, I'm not going to suggest one of my own volition.
Nelson, I'm thinking.
Really?
Yeah, I got the right floppy hair.
Jay Nelson.
Yeah.
The three I get consistently, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Paxton, and James Vanderbeek.
Aykroyd, no. Bill Paxton...
Game over, man.
Yeah, maybe. In the Aliens days. Not so much now, though.
Yeah, the facial fuzz, probably maybe not so much
and
now.
And he's kind of 30 years older than you, too, isn't he?
Well, yeah, you know, back in the day. This is a biopic. I mean, I have to play young Josh and old Josh.
That's right. Oh, they'll smooth out the wrinkles the way they did with Arnie in the latest Terminator film.
I think the Vanderbeek was the Dawson Leary throwback. Film nerd, big forehead, you know.
Okay. Look, let's talk a few films. I want to get into who would play you in a film. Bob's got... I'd be a cross between Woody Allen and Brad Pitt. Sadly, Woody's looks and Brad's intelligence. Oh, that's not very nice, Bob. I'm sure Bradley Pitt's, I'm sure he's got an IQ of 150. Southpaw. All I know is it's a boxing flick and it's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it. Tell me about it, Joe.
Look, this is a film that it's only just been released and it's copped a bit of a critical panning, I'm afraid. And I would have avoided it, but I'm a sucker for a boxing film. Right. I've got a real love of boxing cinema. I think they're really interesting. I think it's an interesting genre, particularly in terms of historically the way it's been used to explore, whether intentionally or otherwise, issues of race, class, and masculinity or gender more broadly. I mean, I think the deviations from that, like Girl Fight, the Michelle Rodriguez film, Million Dollar Baby, they're really interesting. I think it's a really fascinating genre. I wanted to write a book on it, and then someone beat me to the punch, and it was a really good book, which was a...
It's called The Zeitgeist, Josh.
Yeah, I should have got in there first. So Southpaw, look, I think the problem with this film, you know, and it's a very familiar tale. It's the, in this case, it's not the rags to riches tale. It's the riches to rags tale. So this is more the Rocky III when, you know, you've got a boxer who's been the reigning champ and then loses everything and has to climb back up. And this is the character played by Jake Gyllenhaal. He's a light heavyweight champion, Billy Hope. And
Billy Hope is his name.
Billy the Great. They don't say Great White Hope. I think they're trying to avoid some racial connotations with that, but it's, you know, it's in there. He loses everything, including custody of his daughter, and it becomes a case of he's got to fight back in order to win back his daughter's affection and custody and reclaim his sense of self.
Okay. I'm not really attracted to it. However, let's have a little listen to the Jake Gyllenhaal character, Billy Hope, asking to be trained by the great Forrest Whitaker. Have a listen.
I can't do this without you.
I can't do this with you.
Why?
I don't train pro fighters.
What, you saying to me that if someone came in and offered the boys a pro shot, you wouldn't give it to them? All I need is 6 weeks. I need 6 weeks. I'll give you my everything. You get my everything. This is about my family. I can't lose my darling.
Josh is wiping a tear from his eye.
Just in that audio grab, we heard some score from James Horner. This was his last film that he scored before he tragically died earlier this year. So I guess that's a sort of a sad postscript to this film. Look, I think there's actually some strong elements here. The performance of Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean, he looks extraordinary. I remember that photo leaked earlier this year, the promotional photo. His body is one of those transformational stories. He's impressive. Forrest Whitaker does a pretty good job with a pretty weak script. And a lesser-known actress, Una Lawrence, who plays Gyllenhaal's younger daughter, is really strong in this film. The problem here is not the fact that it's cliché. It's that there's just too many clichés which don't gel. I mean, boxing films, even Hollywood cinema and genre cinema more generally, is basically founded upon clichés, ordered in a coherent way to, you know, entice some sort of emotional reaction from the audience. When these clichés are working here, they're effective, and it has the stock standard training montage sequence backed with an Eminem score. In fact, this actually film was written for Eminem. It was a production back in 2010 that was written for him as a sort of a vehicle post 8 Mile, and he decided not to do it. Maybe he read the script and Jake Gyllenhaal stepped in. But there are so many redundant cliches, and I think this film actually could have been really impressive if it had had a sort of an overhaul on the script level and the editing. It goes over 2 hours, and there's just scenes that just don't belong in this film, which sort of take the audience out. So look, I'm a bit of a boxing film apologist. So in some sense, I think this is a film that's still worthy on the back of the strong points. But yeah, look, it's a shame because good performances in a a less than perfect film.
Okay, it's on everywhere. Southpaw with Jake Gyllenhaal. Carl's called from South Yarra. Carl, who would play you?
Now that he's unemployed, Raf, Campbell Newman.
Oh.
And the reason I say Campbell Newman is that on several occasions on holiday in Palm Cove and also in Melbourne, people have come up to me and asked, are you Campbell Newman? And I'm thinking, clearly I'm not, but people must think that I look like him.
But he's a rubbish actor, Carl.
Well, he may be, and I might be a rubbish person to play, so I don't know.
Oh, thanks, Carl. Look, I like your text. Cate Blanchett. I've been told on many occasions that I look like her. Must add, though, that was about 30 kilos ago. That's quite funny. Lucy says she'll watch anything with Jake Gyllenhaal. He gets a lifetime free pass after Donnie Darko. I feel the same way, actually, but I can watch. It's worth, if you're a Jake Gyllenhaal fan, Southpaw's okay?
Yeah, look, I think this is actually not as bad as some of the critics have made out. Yeah.
Okay, I'd go and see it. And I also want to watch the Night Stalker.
A Nightcrawler, he's
Nightcrawler,
so good in that.
The double, because he's really skinny in
Nightcrawler. Yeah, he's doing the Christian Bale thing, the up and down acting.
Can't be healthy.
No.
Miller's called from Morty Alec. Who would play you, Miller?
Hey, guys. The guy who plays Eric in the 70s show.
Topher Grace,
yeah, that's the one. I'm his lookalike.
Apparently. Ah, do you get mistaken for him in the street?
No, unfortunately not. But I did use him as my profile picture for a while, so I think I might have fooled some people there.
Ah, your profile pic. Nice one, Miller. Someone texted to say, Morgan Freeman, except I'm only 45, don't have a cool voice, and I'm white. Sorry.
I actually got mistaken for Ben Folds when I was living in Japan many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And
I can see that.
I decided to sign some autographs.
You didn't.
To Japanese fans.
That's horrible.
They enjoyed it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Maybe we all look the same.
Oh, that's really funny. Someone's saying, the guy from House of Cards could play me. Peter Russo, the senator with no hair. I'll take that because I count him as better.
Corey Stoller, I think.
And taller than me. So, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely take that. Who would play you in the film of your life and why? 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Southpaw sounds like a warrior cage fight movie with... it sounds like the warrior film with Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton. Similar?
Nowhere near as good. I mean, for me, in terms of recent boxing slash mixed martial arts films, that's still the tops. I mean, the performances for the three leads with Nick Nolte thrown in there as well were just fantastic. And the way in which the fight scenes were filmed were felt fresh. Here it feels a little bit like Rocky retread with some sort of Raging Bull... You know, motifs thrown in for good
surely
measure.
Not as good as Raging Bull.
That still, for me, is the greatest boxing
That's
film
why
ever
I
made.
I need to go and see them because I've seen Raging Bull.
Indeed.
Look, interestingly, the other day Bill Bryson was in having a chat with John Fain. You may have heard of him. He's written a few books. And, of course, now one of his books is being turned into a film. Robert Redford plays Bill Bryson's character. It was interesting what Bill Bryson had to say. Now, if you've seen Bill Bryson, he doesn't look like Robert Redford. You know how many of us do, right? Anyway, this is Mr. Bryson's thoughts on being played by Mr. Redford.
It's as you can imagine, John, it was a very strange experience for me to sit in the cinema and watch it, but less strange than I expected because it was only, you know, for the first 30, 60 seconds that you think, that's so strange. Robert Redford is answering to my name on a big screen.
And identity theft.
Yeah, kind of, something like that. Or just, you know, what an extraordinary coincidence. We've got the same name. I mean, my name. And then in the movie, very quickly, for wholly legitimate reasons, they began to move apart from the reality of my life. I mean, one of the things, I have no idea why they did this, but one of the small things they did was they changed my wife's name. Her name in real life is Cynthia. In the movie, she became Catherine.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that, and it can happen. And someone's saying on being played by another actor, I was told in the past that I looked like Rob Sitch before his hair loss. I'd be chuffed for the Honourable Rob to play me. Besides, I'm a funny guy, so they say. And Bert from Ivanhoe says he'd be played by Beaker from The Muppets because I have a pinhead. Sorry.
I want to see that film.
I'm not sure that I want to see that film. Now, let's talk about this film, Maggie. So this is worth seeing. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Tell me a bit about the film.
This is a film that was going to premiere at the Toronto Film Festival last year. It had some buzz towards the start of this year. It didn't end up playing it at Toronto. It got withdrawn and ended up playing at Tribeca, I think, earlier this year. This is a film with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Abigail Breslin from Little Miss Sunshine. It's
she's the little girl.
She's the little girl from Little Miss Sunshine. It's a look. Even trying to describe it one way, I think, is a bit misleading. You could say it's a post-apocalyptic film that deals with a zombie infection, which automatically throws up red flags, and that this is going to be a fast-paced Arnie-style action film. And it's not that at all. And I think the reason why this has not appeared in cinemas, despite what I think is actually a pretty strong film, is because it's almost an impossible sell. Because if you try and sell an art house film to Arnie fans, they're probably not going to go. And vice versa, the art house crowd are not going to go and see an Arnie film that is inherently art house. And I think that's, for me, what makes it such an interesting film. And it's a shame that people haven't seen this film, by and large, because he gives easily the best dramatic performance that we've seen from Arnie, not just in a long time, but possibly in his career.
This is his best.
This is his, you know, the equivalent of Stallone in Copland. This is, he gets to extend himself. So the film is quite curious because despite that setup of it being in a post-apocalyptic land, there's been a virus which is affecting agricultural crops and people. His daughter, played by Abigail Breslin, has done a runner. She's become infected. He goes to the hospital and he brings her back to this farm in rural America.
Is there lots of sort of Walking Dead gore, zombie?
Not at all. And I think this is why it's turned Arnie fans against it. So like, it's sort of Metacritic score and the Rotten Tomatoes scores are quite low because I think the genre fans have gone to see it and it hasn't been what they expected. So they've marked it down. And I think that's why I think there's a little bit of disappointment surrounding this film. I think if you actually pitch this film as a film about an adult dealing with their child's terminal illness and the realization that this kid is going to die, because the key conflict in the narrative revolves around Arnie bringing his daughter home, knowing that there's no cure for the virus. She's got a couple of weeks before she turns, and he needs to take her to quarantine. Yeah, right. And he just wants to spend the last moments of her life with her. And, of course, the rest of the family start moving away because they don't want to get infected. And it becomes this quite taut, meaningful, almost philosophical drama. This film feels like a, and I know this is going to sound terrible, this film feels almost like a Terrence Malick film working in a George Romero universe.
Okay. Because that's a combination you don't hear of often.
It's a very strange thing. I think this is, it's films like this that do something interesting with the zombie as a figure in popular culture. Like, the zombie began as a almost a cipher for dealing with issues of race. And you look at George Romero's early films, Night of the Living Dead deals with race, Dawn of the Dead deals with consumerism, Land of the Dead deals with class. You know, that's when the zombie is a kind of a mutable figure. In recent years, it's just become a kind of a bland, you know, screaming, drooling, you know, symbol of horror without any kind of broader cultural political context. And this is a film that gives it kind of emotional gravitas. Look, I don't think it's a perfect film. There are elements here that reflect the fact that it's a debut feature from the director. The ending doesn't quite leave, or, you know, pack the emotional punch it should. But I think this is a really worthwhile film. And don't be put off if you're not an Arnie fan by the presence of Arnie. And if you're an Arnie fan, you know, cut him some slack and look at this film in a different way.
Okay, look, I'll play you a little bit of the film in a moment.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is with me. We spoke about Southpaw, the Jake Gyllenhaal fighter flick. Much smaller release is Maggie, the Arnold Schwarzenegger zombie arthouse flick. I'll play you a little bit of it in a moment. I've been asking people who would play them in a film of their life and why. Julia's called from Berenberg. Julia, who?
Hey. Probably a little bit different. Not an actor, but all my life I have constantly been mistaken for Annie Lennox.
Well, lucky you.
Oh, I think she's amazing, absolutely amazing. I can't think of a better person to look like. But even to the point where I went to the night markets just recently at Vic Markets, and I had a woman walk up to me and say to me, "I didn't know you were touring."
What have you ever done? Josh, who's with me here, has faked himself and faked autographs. Have you ever been tempted?
Look, I have, but I never have done. I've just had to sadly shake my head and walk away.
Because you've seen that line and you haven't stepped over it.
No.
That's right. Good for you. You said Josh doesn't have the ethics that you do, Julia. Look, I just want to play you a little bit of Maggie, the Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm still getting over the Terrence Malick, George Romero combo. My brain can't compute those two filmmakers squashed together. However, a creepy little scene where Arnie is protecting, I think it's protecting his daughter here. Have a listen. No dialogue yet.
Behind me.
Arnie.
No, no, Esther, no, please.
Go home. Just go home.
Yeah, I'm not really getting much out of that. Anyway.
Yeah, the zombies in that scene, not the fast-moving. Sure. If this film had been a typical Arnie film, you know, yeah. he wouldn't have said, get behind me. You know what he would have said?
I'll be there.
Get to the chopper.
Oh, get to the chopper. Yeah, cool. Boom, boom. Quite a few people liking it, although they thought, two people texting in, they thought the zombie analogy was a little overdone. And someone pointing out John Fane could be played by Michael Gudinski, which I think is a very good call. Alan's call from Roval. Alan, who's... Oh, you're going to play someone. Who would you play?
Eric Clapton, Raph.
Oh. You get mistaken?
I was just listening to what you were talking about as far as movie stars go, and if Eric was an actor, he'd play me. I've just had several people over the years say that I look very much like Eric Clapton, and I've got no talent. I can't play guitar, and I certainly can't sing or write songs, but apparently I look a lot like Eric.
And that doesn't stop a whole lot of actors doing precisely the same thing. Someone's saying to me that from listening to you for 6 months, that's me, I thought you'd look like George Costanza. Why, thank you. Jay says he was relieved when he saw the TV ad, so that's good.
We should mention that you did actually play yourself in a TV or an advertisement that played frequently at the Melbourne International Film Festival, I should say.
That's different.
You did a wonderful job of you, by the way. Yeah. Was it hard?
That's why they pay me the big bucks, Josh.
Do you know, what's my motivation in this scene?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Look, a few more of your texts. People saying that George Brandis would be played by who from the Muppets? Dr. Beaker from the Professor Beaker in the Muppets? Oh, sorry, Professor Honeydew in the Muppets. Yeah, okay, I can kind of do that. Someone else too saying that I could be played by Meryl Streep because she could play anyone, which is kind of true. I'd get Judi Dench to play the future me. She's fabulous. That's from Julia in Yarra Glen. That must be Yarra Glen. And Russell Crowe would play me. He can do the intense eyes and has the necessary anger issues. Look, quite a bit of love for Maggie, I should say, Josh. I know that's not on such broad release. Loved it. So unexpected for Arnie. The ending, too, was perfect. That's from Alison. So, a little bit of love. Where's Maggie on?
It's only it's home entertainment. It's skipped the cinemas, and that's all kind right. of why I wanted...
Streaming?
I think, online, but also Blu-ray and DVD.
Okay. And Southpaw is on...
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. And I like this. I haven't gone down the political analogies. Raf, Michael Douglas would play Kevin Rudd. Kathleen Turner would play Julia Gillard. And we could have War of the Roses too. That's from Bill. I've forgotten about War of the Roses.
So who's Danny DeVito in that scenario?
Oh, there's any number of politicians of the right stature, isn't there? And look, I'll read this one out. The former politician will have to forgive me. Peter Reith could be played by a bowl of porridge. That's very cruel. However, that's pretty funny as well. I'll leave it there. I'll see if I can get to some more of your calls. Josh Nelson, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Filmology.com is the website. Filmology is the Twitter handle as well.